Okay. Thanks for having me, David. David Cosmeter at Time Research has been a good friend of mine over the years and invited me back for this special presentation. So I wanted to say thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me. We've got a good, interesting turnout of people today. And I want to ask if anybody there has had a chance to hear me before, or maybe has read one of my books, or attended any of my previous broadcasts, taken any of my training. Anybody care to say hello? Maybe someone I haven't heard from before. John's out there. John Ornstein just sent me a huge package of stuff for my museum. Thank you, John. Anybody else? Rokan said, read your book last month. Good. Thank you. Which one? Can I ask which one? Maybe we can get a message typed in. I'd be curious to find out which one. And feel free to type a comment in anytime, guys, because I've got it up so I can watch and I will respond to any conversation that you guys want to have. All right. So, since we can go ahead and get started, I'm just going to go ahead and get started. Thank you for spending a minute saying hello, and let's get right to work. All right. So, today I want to talk to you about probabilities, price forecasting, and the illusion of profitability. Now, the insights I'm going to share with you today, this is going to challenge a lot of the listeners. It's going to challenge a lot of your beliefs and understanding about the markets. First time many of you are going to hear this point of view. Some of it might really surprise you. In fact, David here at Timing Research is one of really just a handful of seminar producers who invites me back regularly because a lot of what I can share sometimes makes people upset. And it's not my intention to do that. I want you to know that it isn't my intention to make anybody upset, but my point of view is heavily vetted. I've been trading now for almost 40 years, and I've made and lost seven figures more times than I care to admit. And I know this business better. I've forgotten more than most people will ever know. And I'm not saying that to impress you. I'm saying that when you have reached a certain level of understanding about your profession and you're able to dominate that profession from the inside out, then it's important that you, everyone listening, understands that I'm not really screwing around here. What I have for you, this can change your life. If you really get into what I have to share with you, this can make a huge difference. A lot of the insights that I can share with you can really shorten your learning curve. And that's what I want to focus on. So let's stay focused on the real issue here, which is helping you guys get better at what you do. All right. So first of all, I never know who's listening. So I want to remind everybody, if you're a newer trader, that trading in off exchange futures options or Forex or exchange traded futures and options, that involves substantial risk. Loss of equity is possible. It may not be suitable for all investors. You need to carefully consider if trading is right for you in light of your personal tolerance for risk and your personal finances. People can and do lose money, in some cases more than they invest. But everything we talk about in here today would be considered opinion, subject to change at any time. And this is for educational purposes. So now that the regulators are happy, let's get right to work. I think you'll like what I've got for you. So what is it that you're really looking for? Only you can answer this question, but I'm going to hazard a guess here. Hopefully, you're filling your head with all this information. The reason you're here today and the reason you've been here all week is because you expect to use this data in some way to increase your profit. Would anybody disagree with me? Everybody, I think, is that's why we're here, right? Problem is, you may have something that you're not aware of. And one of that things is, a fact is, you're never going to increase your profitability by the use of information or by using any method of price forecasting. The probability of you winning using any sort of technical analysis as your reliable tool in this business is really low. In fact, price action itself is not even definable under any circumstances. And that's why the effective global profit and loss factor applied to all markets and all accounts has never varied from about 85% to 15% since the dawn of trading. Now, what do I mean by that? Because most people do not even know about this ratio. What it means is that 80 to 85% of people trading at any point in time are losing, and only about 15% to 20% will ever make any money doing this. Every year, the business of trading gets bigger and bigger. Every year brings new and fascinating concepts for analysis and projection and price forecasting. And every year after year, this ratio between winners and losers remains The same. 100% of all this analysis, you know, information, all the technical analysis, computer programs, neural net software, all of this was invented because so many people were losing money in the markets regularly. People were trying, how do we figure this out? Because we're losing all the time. And this is what they came up with. But none of it has ever changed this ratio. In the past 150 years of modern exchange-based trading in futures, options, non-centralized trading, such as forex or cash commodities, every year, year and after year, and there's more and more ways to analyze all this. And in the past 150 years, everybody is mostly losing. It's never, ever changed. And I want you to consider something. Some of the biggest fortunes ever made in this business were made before the invention of the computer. Most of them were made before World War II. None of these tools existed. Jesse Livermore, the greatest trader that ever lived, some days rode a horse to work. There weren't computers. Many people didn't have telephones. How could he make $100 million in one day when $100 million was a lot of money? How could Moneesha Homa make over $10 billion in today's money, today's numbers, trading one market in Osaka, Japan, before, my God, that guy, he didn't even have indoor plumbing. Why is that? Price action is not definable. It's not possible to forecast, predict, project, define potential price action. You can't do it under any circumstances. I'm going to show you why. 100% of analysis really is nothing more than a guess. It might be a well-vetted guess, but it's a guess. And the illusion most traders are operating under is that the for them is the profitable trades done from some sort of analysis. They think that matters. So I want you to follow me on this, right? If I ask you to guess the flip of a coin before it lands on the ground, I flip a coin, I tell you, tell me it's going to be heads or tails. What is the potential for you to be correct? And I want someone to put it in there. Now let's see if you guys are paying attention. What's the potential for you to be correct? Anybody care to offer an estimate? GD says 50%, 50-50. Everybody's putting it in there. Okay, great. Now, exactly 50%. If you could flip a coin forever, you would get 50% heads, 50% tails. But you can't flip a coin forever. So that inequality shows up as inside the random distribution for the 80-20 bell curve distribution. That's a well-known mathematical probability. It just is. Now, no amount of study, no amount of analysis, back testing, whatever you want to call it, is ever going to change those odds. Every single time you flip a coin, the odds are 50-50. It doesn't matter what the probabilities were on the previous 10 coin flips because that has nothing to do with the current one. And so if you said to me, well, it's been six heads in a row, so tails is due, I'm going to go with tails, that's called the gambler's fallacy or the gambler's illusion. That says, which I'm going to share with you in a minute, the gambler's fallacy is tendency to see patterns in random events. It's believing that something is more likely to occur again because it has happened a number of times before, which is the same thing every one of you guys does with your analysis. You believe that you did Fibonacci correctly and you did it twice in a row, so the next time it's going to produce a profit too. But see, you can't change that. And this is precisely why no amount of study will help you win better. There is no relationship between the results desired and the results possible from the existing probability. In other words, you cannot use any kind of analysis to improve your results because of the nature of probabilities. Flipping a coin has the exact same probability all the time. It doesn't matter how much study you apply to that for all the great, wonderful things that you could think of that could help you determine streaks and rolls. It's never going to change the probability that it functions under all the time. So you can't improve that. You can't define those probabilities any better. And you can't improve your results by studying them. Trading is identical to this problem. When you put a trade on, you're either going to be right about that trade or you're going to be wrong. That's a 50-50 probability. Everybody believes that their study reduces that to some amount, but I'm going to show you that that's an illusion. And this is the illusion of profitability. Now, if we add the fact that you decided to follow some sort of price action definition model, let's call it Elliott Wave, let's call it Fibonacci, you'll begin to suffer from the illusion of profitability. And simply put, it works like this. I did the Fibonacci study exactly like I was taught to do it. It said buy the market. So I did. The trade worked, and I made $1,200 in 20 minutes. Therefore, Fibonacci is a valid study. See, what you just did right there is a combination of cognitive bias and logical fallacy, the false cause and the clustering illusions. Here's why. Because tomorrow you do the exact same thing, except this time you have a loss. So how could that happen? If everything you are doing is identical in both cases, why are there two kinds of results? Because there's no relationship between your study and what the market does, but you think it does. That's called a false cause. Presuming that a real or perceived relationship between things means that one is the cause of the other. Many people confuse correlation, things like happening together or things happening in a sequence, for causation, that one thing actually causes the other to occur. I did all my analysis right last night. I put the trade on this morning. Those things happening in a row. Now I made money. That must mean I did my analysis right. You know, thank God for analysis. This false cause, same thing just happened. We lived through this BS from our well-educated government types with this whole masking thing during the alleged pandemic, which was, if you don't wear a mask, you're going to get sick. Well, statistically, there's absolutely zero relationship between getting sick and wearing a mask. In fact, wearing a mask, the evidence suggests that wearing a face mask will make you sick. So if you want more information on that, we can talk later off camera. But the point I'm making is that false cause is everywhere. The one thing causes the other to happen. The clustering illusion, also called the gambler's illusion, the gambler's fallacy, is believing that something is more likely to occur again because it has happened a number of times in succession. One time is also considered succession. So if you do everything right, you make money, you think you're doing something that assisted your profitability. That's a false cause. And then you think it's going to happen again by using the same method of analysis, and you don't. That's the clustering illusion. See, what's the difference between science and superstition? I want you to really think this through. In order for something to be considered a science, there must be consistent, repeatable results from experiments done to confirm or deny a hypothesis, right? That's same for even if it was be considered maybe something that's reliable, there must be consistent, measurable results of repeatable experimentation that are fall beyond simple probability. I can't build a reliable airplane without science telling me exactly how to generate lift and offer control of my vehicle. It must be the same all the time. Otherwise, it isn't a science. It's a superstition. The illusion of profitability, that's a superstition. Price forecasting itself is not a science. See, if this whole technical analysis argument really worked for you to try to make more money, every time you did it, you'd be on the right side. But you're never more than about 52 to 55% right, are you? Why is that? Because it's a superstition. Trading analysis is a superstition. There's no definable or dependable way to generate consistent results using any form of analysis. In other words, you can't predict price reliably. You can't. Not a single soul listening to this broadcast has ever had better than roughly 52 to maybe 55% positive results using their absolute best effort at some kind of analysis. Doesn't matter what it is. That probability falls under the very mathematically clear 80-20 bell curve distribution for random results. What does that mean? In other words, 55% winning trades looks great. That's statistically within the variance of chance when done long enough. If you win, it's luck, but it looks like you did something to help yourself win. See, that's the illusion. Price forecasting is not a science because it never offers repeatable, consistent results. It's no better than chance. I want to show you something. Can you guys see this? Liberated stock trader, stochastic. Can you guys see this? Stochastic oscillator. 399 years of test data reveals surprises. This is a whole big thing about technical analysis, in this case, stochastics. So let's just skip all the BS and head right to the bottom line. Key stochastic oscillator takeaways. The stochastic oscillator is designed to predict randomness in the markets. How well does it do it? On an hourly time frame, stochastics produce 43% winning trades. 6 out of 10 trades attempted by use of stochastics by the book, the way George Lane taught it, who I met, by the way, at the Board of Trade, the way George Lane taught me to use stochastics, 6 out of 10 times bullshit. Why would you trust your money in a winner-take-all battlefield to something that doesn't work all the time? Why would you use something 100% of the time if it only works about half the time. Half of your losses could be considered avoidable. There could be something better you could do than run with chance, thinking that chance is a science. It's not a science. Garan has a point he wants to make here. Is medicine a science then? Well, depends on who you talk to. Personally, there's parts of medicine that are scientific, but there's other parts that are just nowhere, not even the realm of probability. Maybe you could tell me which was which. So why is price action not definable? How come we can't predict price action with all this scientific stuff we're using? Well, here's why. Any attempt to define price action boils down to making a comparison. It's a comparison between three kinds of prices: past, present, and future. You look at the present price, you compare it to the past in order to predict the future. Now, the problem is comparisons are subjective. Which prices are the ones you're going to use? Why are those the ones you're going to use? What if I use something different? Which is the right comparison? Which price points are valid? Which ones are not valid? Who is making these comparisons? And is their point of reference different from another person's point of reference? And my comparisons could very well be different than yours. So which comparison is more accurate? If more than one person is making a subjective comparison using different points of reference from everyone else doing the exact same thing, then in order for this to be a science, 100% of those comparisons must come to the same results and be repeatable. In other words, it wouldn't matter how everybody did all those comparisons. They would all boil down to a buy order, or they would all boil down to a sell order if all of those were based on a scientific, provable, repeatable hypothesis, which they're not. People use shared data to reach equal yet opposite conclusions. Therefore, their point of view cannot be accurate or scientific. You and I have all the same information. I have my price chart of the euro looks the same on my desk as it does on your desk. Every stock you want to trade, every commodity, futures, Forex, all of them all look the same on my desk as it does on your desk. Every study that could be done will look the same on my charts as it will on your charts. It's all the same information. So how come all this boils around in my head and I come up with it's a time to buy right now and I place my buy order in the market and you do the same thing. It all boils around in your head, but you come up with it's a time to sell to make money and you enter a sell order. So my buy order and your sell order offset in the market. I'm long, you're short. We both think we're going to make money using the exact same information. How does that happen? Because it's all opinion. None of this, all of the technical analysis you could possibly put your head into and hang your hat on, all of it, it's just an opinion. It's a subjective opinion. And here's the last reason why price action is not definable under any circumstances. This is more technical. We have anybody out there who is maybe an engineer, an electrical engineer, perhaps, somebody who builds better brake pads for a living. Anybody out there? Nobody's putting anything in. Okay. All right. Somebody's put in here. So technology is not a science. No, of course it's not a science. Technology might do science related stuff, perhaps. M says, I'm a technician. Okay, let me ask you a question. If I ask you to solve an equation for variable A, can you use variable A in the equation? In other words, if I want to find out something that requires the manipulation of data, can I use what I'm trying to find out inside the equation? The answer to that is no, of course. You tell me no, of course you're right. Yeah, see, but no, can't do that. Right, okay. Well, that's what technical analysis does. They take the price, they massage and manipulate the price through all these different rules, regulations, and ways to do it in an attempt to predict the price. So if I'm going to predict price, then I can't use price in my calculation to arrive at prediction of price. It's a failed logical premise. A cannot equal A with a B next to it, whatever it is. The only equation is A equals A times B if B is zero, plus B if B is zero, minus B if B is zero. There's nothing you can add to the equation for the equation to make sense to equal price prediction, so you can't use it. Variable predicted cannot be used inside the calculation to predict the same variable. So why do we do that? Don Muir says, well, an interactive process would get you close, but how close is unknown. Okay, well, how close do you have to be on the winning side? This is about being on the right side of the market so you can take the loser's money. Why would you do the same thing the loser's doing? Because he's losing 85% of the time. So you don't need to use an interactive process to get you close, because getting close is the same loser. You're getting, you're staying, Instead of standing next to the guy 4 feet away, you're standing next to the guy 1 foot away. What difference does it make? You see what I'm getting at? I got another comment in here I want to hear. M says that's called recursion and can be used for statistical. It's called recursion and can be used for statistical analysis. But the markets are not statistical. They're not. There's no statistics in price prediction or performance, because the only reason the market moves is because there's more buy orders than sell orders, or there's more sell orders than buy orders. That's the only reason prices move. So because you're not aware of how the markets are created, what causes prices to move, and what defeats price action, you think there's a relationship between prices and mathematical computation. And that's the false cause error. You see what I'm saying? So I want to ask you the hard questions. Seriously, I want you guys to ask some hard questions. Really, really hard questions. See, in the trading environment, you are either going to make money or you're going to lose your money. And statistically, the odds say you're going to lose. In fact, everybody listening can stop BSing me and BSing themselves. Since the day you started trading, you're not making money, and you know that. Most of you, probably 80% of you or more, are not making money, and you know that. You don't have to tell me you are. You don't have to say you're going to do it okay tomorrow. If only I could get more information. No, you're not winning. You're not winning. You open the account for 10,000. You got 50 in it after 6 months. No, somebody's got money, got part of your money. Why is that? Why is it that 85% of every open trading account right now is losing money? That's not my opinion, guys. That's factual statistics. Factual statistics. When I was a commodity broker in Chicago, Illinois, having to get on the phone to find clients, this is back before the internet, back before there were people wanting to just throw money away, you had to earn the right to trade a client's money. And in a 8-year period of time that I was a full-on 100% licensed and regulated commodity broker, Series 3 licensed in Chicago, not a single client made money. I lost my money too, trading. I talk about that in one of my books, The Art of the Trade. Why is that? How am I supposed to win at this if I'm doing the exact same thing? You're doing the exact same thing all those other losing trading, all those other losing traders are doing. Using all the exact same tools they use to do it. How am I supposed to win if I'm doing nothing different than the average loser out there using all the same stuff he's using? If price action is really not definable, then why do so many people believe it is definable? Why will 85% of those people lose money trying to prove to themselves it is definable? Why do people put their confidence in analysis when statistically it is no better than chance at forecasting price? I just showed you one illustration on stochastics. You go in and look at all of them. Do your own research like I have. You'll find that technical analysis on any level, doesn't matter what it is, what you choose to use or what you like, technical analysis, study of charts, study of drawing lines and ratios and curly Qs and all that fun stuff and Elliott wave and all of that. You put all that in a big giant hopper and say, how well does it work? Absolutely none of it is better than about 52% of the time. Why is that? So what's really needed to win? Well, before we do that, I want to really make sure that we're clear on this 52% number, that when you're using technical analysis in all its glory, you're really not really using anything better than chance. You really think this is going to help you win. And I want to ask you a question. This is the real world. You're going to either win at this, or somebody else who knows the game better is going to take all your money from you. So let's put this into something that might be more familiar to you. Let's say you're a soldier pinned down by enemy fire, and I'm your captain, and I order you, listen, go take that hill over there. See where the enemy is shooting back at us? Go take that hill and knock those guys out of there. Now, I order you, or you're supposed to go. So I then hand you a gun and say, go take that hill. Now, just before you walk through the sandbags, I say to you, oh, by the way, that gun I just gave you, that only works about 52% of the time. Go ahead, go. What would you think? What are the odds that you're going to take the hill if the gun you're using to shoot the enemy only works half the time? And you don't know which half of the time it's going to be. See, and most people don't really understand what's needed to win, okay? And here's what you need to do to win. The price of knowledge is the destruction of illusion. The knowledge you need is going to destroy the illusions you operate under. And those illusions, these are big. Are you willing to have 100% of your illusions defeated? And in my opinion, the answer is no. I'm already getting people arguing with me right here. I'll go through some of this stuff. In my experience, the answer is no. You'll continue to operate with a head full of market incompatible thinking because you really don't want to admit you're on the wrong track. You'll likely fail at trading because failure is easier to deal with than changing your whole head full of bad wiring. That's the real reason most traders never reach the level of consistent, repeatable profitability they could reach. It's because most of them will never accept this premise. They don't believe that 85% of the people out there are losing all the time. They think that that's just, oh, a fun number that they heard somewhere, and there's no validity to that. And the technical analysis must be right because all these people are using it, right? It's another illusion, another logical fallacy. But let's suppose that you're not one of those people. Let's suppose that you really are in the opposite camp. The reason you're here is to find a way to really get ahead. You want to win, all right? So let's suppose you consider yourself that opposite person. No, I want to win. I'm tired of losing. You know, I want to find out what I need to know. Okay, well, then we want to break the cycle of failure. And this is what I teach in my coursework, how to break the cycle of failure. But what is the cycle of failure? Well, number one, you got to think in probabilities and not certainties. One of the things that is problematic with analysis in all its forms is that it attempts to give you a sense of certainty that you think you know better. You know, I can't just flip a coin. There's got to be a for sure going on here. This is often called waiting for confirmation, which is another really big loser trait. People who, quote, wait for confirmation constantly are on the losing side of trades almost 100% of the time. They're just, you're never going to make any money doing that, waiting for confirmation. What does that mean? It means that the trade has worked in your head. By then, you've given up profitability, and now it's supposed to go forever because it's confirmed in your brain. But the market doesn't operate based on how you see it. So you don't need to wait for confirmation. When the market gives you an opportunity, you take it. You think in probabilities. You don't look for certainties. You want to cut your losses fast. Every net winning trader that's doing this consistently for gains all the time consistently will tell you they never risk more than X amount on any one trade. And they never vary that. It's not open to discussion or marinating through analysis. They risk 0.5% to 1% of their equity on any one trade. And that's it. They cut that loss fast. They've learned how to hold their winners. That's the real important thing. If you don't hold your winners, you can't pay for the losers. In order for the probabilities to work, you must take at least $2 out of a winner for every dollar you lose. You have to have a 2-to-1 or 2.0-to-1 win-loss ratio. That means when I win, I make $2. When I lose a dollar. That ratio has to be there. It can be percents if you want. You know, if I lose 1% of my equity, my winning trades got to make a minimum of 2%. So let's do the math together. If you did 100 trades and had only 48 winners and 52 losers, that would be chance. That would be chance, flipping a coin. Your absolute best use of analysis you could possibly do will give you over 100 trades, 48 wins, 52 losses. You would have won 2 times 48, which is 96, against 1 times 52 losses, which gives you a net gain of 44. So let's call it percent. You risk 1% 52 times to lose, and you made 2% 48 times. So on 100 trades, you have a 44% net gain. Can you do 100 trades in a quarter? How come you're not doubling your money every year? It's got nothing to do with analysis. It's probabilities and risk control, but they don't teach you that. Implement controls on your behavior. You've got to learn how to turn the screen off. You've got to be able to walk away. You have to know when you're about to do something stupid, like revenge trading or guessing or whatever it is that you do because you got to make your money back or you're mad. And so you're going to get back in there right away. I can't believe I made 3 trades in a row that were losses. That fourth one's got to work. No, that's the gambler's fallacy. Have a cutoff point. Learn to turn the screen off and do something else. Have a set number of losses in a row. Learn to control what you are doing. Forget about what the market does. The market will be here tomorrow. If you didn't make it happen today, big deal. Go weed the garden. Do something else. Stop listening to other traders, gurus, educators, analysis, forecasters, news. Forget all that. You already know more than you need to know. Right now, what's available for free on the internet in terms of market knowledge and what you've already spent or invested in to get to where you are now in terms of market knowledge and education, what you know right now is hundreds of times more than what Jesse Livermore or Salmon Chase or Diamond Jim or any of those big traders from New York that everybody thinks are so wonderful. W.D. Gann, right? You know more than all those guys. So how come they could make the biggest fortunes ever seen in this industry that have never been equaled in modern times, and we can't get off square one? So you already know more than what you need. You don't need outside help anymore. Your best outside help is a qualified trading mentor, not more analysis. You don't need more analysis. You don't need more of that. You got to find somebody to help you make sense of all this. If you really want to win, really want to win, throw out everything you've learned so far. Start over by asking yourself one question. Where is the losing trader executing at right now? This is the question that changed my life. Where is the loser right now? Well, I think he's on the buy side right about here. Well, that's where I'm going to sell. I think he's on the sell side right about here. That's where I'm going to buy. Answering that question is where all the money is. Why wouldn't you ask that question? Because everything else is going to follow. All right. So, in conclusion, if you feel you're ready to open a new door, it's my view that making the leap in thinking from market analysis centric to how a winner thinks centric will open your potential to beat the odds for losses. You can't win at trading using all the same tools and using all the same tools exactly like all those other losing traders are out there using them. It's not going to happen. I see it every day. And all you have to do is look at your own personal results to know that something is missing, right? So if you're ready to open a new door, here's the link to my latest book, Best 10 Bucks You'll Ever Spend on Trading, The Psychology of Trading, How to Create and Maintain Your Winning Edge. It's a Kindle ebook. There's a free sample there. There's a free companion website, www.theliononline.com. There's free information there. There's a contact me form. You can go to the site first and take the link back to Amazon if you want. I think you will like what you see. And there's a contact me form on that website if you want to open a dialogue about improving your results. And if you want to look at what I do and how I do it and what I teach, a very rudimentary, raw, brand new site, www.netwinningtrader.com, is the latest website that has put an extremely definable process in place. Details there. And again, you can always ask me direct questions. There is a discount coupon code available if you wanted to buy the coursework that's there. But we'll talk about that later because, quite frankly, I want you to understand what you're getting into before you spend dime one. So I always like to talk to people first. So we will speak if you decide to do some coaching. Floor's open for Q&A. So we've got a few minutes left. Would like to answer those questions. Looking forward to the hate mail to you. Laughing too hard to hear. Uh-oh. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not, RV says, I'm not aware of my illusions. I think my illusion is reality. I always dream of winning and not really winning. Right. That's okay. That's a common problem. That's because you confuse desire for results with action for results. That's an easy problem to fix, by the way. GD wants to know, what about fundamental analysis? What about it? Let's talk about fundamental analysis. What is it that fundamental analysis is supposed to do? It's supposed to tell you the real picture of the supply and demand relationship for that market. We're supposed to take all of the acres planted and combine that with all the acres planted before, and we're going to predict the yield on the soybean market per bushel per acre, and that's going to calculate the soybean crop. But then we got to factor in loss. We got to factor in disaster, flooding. What if there's no rain? What if there's a drought? Then we won't have any crop to sell. We got to factor in all this stuff. So I can take all this fundamental information, boil it around in my head, and come up with soybeans are a buy. I can take all the fundamental information, boil it around in my head, come up with soybeans are a sell. Now what happens? In order for me to profit, I got to enter an order, and you have to enter an order. So fundamental analysis, regardless of what it is or how valuable you think it might be, boils down to the same systematic problem. It has to convince somebody to do something. When they convince themselves to do something and they enter an order into the market, you're now in the same market with the same 85% losers. It doesn't matter how you came to the conclusion to get in. Using fundamental analysis to get into the market for the wrong reasons is the same kind of losing behavior that will result in losses to your account. So I don't believe that you can use fundamental analysis to shorten the learning curve to profitability. In fact, I think it will confuse you more because the time needed for fundamentals to really function as a fundamental takes months or years. It takes 3 or 4 years for the soybean market to become overcrowded with 2 or 3 years of record yield so that now the market's bearish during the growing season. You know, if you said, I'm going to go short because I think the market's bearish, can you wait 4 years for a profit? You know, I personally don't think that fundamentals are any more helpful or less helpful than any other form of analysis. I think it's just another way for you to convince yourself that you know what you're doing when you really don't, and you'll end up being in a losing situation again. That's my thought on fundamentals. Rokan says, my first account was for 10K back in the 80s, which I doubled in 3 months. Good for you. Can you do it all the time, every day, day in and day out? I would say no. But if you can, good for you. What are you doing? Because if you're being honest with me, you and I both know that what I'm saying to you is absolutely accurate. So, you know, did you get lucky and think you know what you're doing? You got on the right side of the drought? I made $1 million in 90 days too, but I was on the right side of the soybeans during the 88 drought. I didn't know that. I thought it was always that way. So when the drought was over and soybeans at $12 a bushel was the sell, that was the top, I didn't know that. So I wasn't able to keep my profitability. Some people who end up with really good gains like this give it all back in the next 90 days. Did that happen to you at some point too? Should be honest if you're going to talk like this, because you and I both know that's what happens. Terry Wim says the market is rigged. Love guys like this. Terry, you think the market's rigged, huh? All right. Rokan says trading is not coin flipping. Okay, good for you. How else do you account for consistently repeatable positive results? You can't do it. I'd love to see you do it. I bet you can't do it. I'd love to see you do it. You think you're doing it, but you're really not. Because the equity doesn't show that. Don Muir says that's where I met you on the phone. Yeah, probably. Terry says the market's rigged. Okay. Terry says, if you really think the markets are rigged, Terry, this is not for you. Seriously. If you think the markets are rigged, take your money and go home and find something else to do. What else we got? Don Muir says, years ago, I got assigned to write a paper on whether a natural resource management program should be centralized or decentralized. I found studies agreeing for both. Right. Each evaluated the same information. Each came up with different conclusion. Each was tried. Each failed. Right. Exactly. Since people think they know what they're doing, but they don't. Christopher wants to know, what's the opinion of commitment of traders reports? How actionable do you find it? Well, the commitment of traders report I find is very helpful if I'm trading futures. And the reason being is because the winning traders are usually always the larger groups, the hedgers, the hedge funds. They're always usually the larger groups because they're operating on longer time frames. And one of the things that losing traders don't understand is that you need to really be on a longer time frame to win, because you can't hold a winner long enough unless you hold the winner. So if you're on the right side, they tend to stay in them for days or weeks or months, and that's where their profitability comes from. So I find the commitment of traders report really helpful because it's most helpful when it shows large positions building on one side and you see small speculators, small traders building the position on the other side. That's usually when it's most helpful for me. How actionable do you find commitment of traders? Well, that's basically it. I mean, again, you could look at it and say, well, that seems to me to be bearish or that's bullish. You know what I mean? It's what I find helpful is when large traders begin reducing position size or flipping to the other side. That's typically a turning point in the market. If a professional trader says that John wants to know, if a professional trader says that he, she makes their living trading with technical analysis, he says they're kidding themselves. John says, I don't know if what you're saying there, John, you're saying if someone says that, you know, is it accurate? I would say, you know, we don't know because that depends on the person. I would say that I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that say, oh, TA is the greatest thing in the world. And then 6 months later, I talk to them again and they're broke, you know, so I'm just telling you. Rokan says, in my opinion, you've had the best presentation in the last 3 days. Way to go. Solid info, although I respectfully disagree. by the way, I trade and do so without indicators. Okay, well, then you and I are on the same side. You understand they're not reliable. Not to make money, but not to lose money, and find the process remarkably boring. Yes, that is true. I personally have custom indicators that I've created. I'll be happy to show those to you if you want to see them. They're not necessarily more reliable, but what's reliable about them is how to build a position. If you know how to build a position, they can be very reliable. What else do we have here? Any other comments or questions? Seven new messages coming in here. Let's see. John says, are they kidding themselves? Meaning the pit bull. Martin Schwartz swore by technical analysis. Martin Schwartz. Martin Schwartz. Are you sure you got the right Schwartz? Marty Schwartz? He said, he was the guy that said, I've never met a rich technician. So when he said, I swear by technical analysis, he may have been tongue in cheek with that, saying, yeah, I think it's great because all the other people losing are using it. All they do is watch what they do and take the other side. Maybe that's what he was saying. Gary in Portugal says, provocative, very worthwhile session. Well, thank you. Listen, if you guys like what you hear, it's okay to open a dialogue. Go to netwinningtrader.com or theliononline.com. Those are my sites. And send me an email and say, yeah, I want to get on your database or I want to look at more of your stuff. Feel free. I'm a real person here in Bradenton / Sarasota, Florida. I just had 3 days off because of a hurricane. I'm a real guy. I'm in my office right now, and I'll be happy to take a call from people, and we can open the dialogue on what I can and can't offer you. I'm not saying that what I have is the end all and be all. What I'm saying is you need to open your mind up. You know, the emperor is naked. The emperor's new clothes. I mean, we can only BS ourselves so much. At some point, you know, we have to take a look at this and go, wait a minute, everything I've been putting all my time and effort into isn't producing. What am I doing that could change? Or what am I not seeing? It's okay to take everything you've learned and do something else with it, a little more disciplined, knowing something else. You know, plenty of people I coach continue to use technical analysis, but they use it for different reasons than they did before. And that's the key, is they know what it can do and what it can't do. You know, for example, you know, I personally think, and this is just me now, I personally think Fibonacci studies are helpful and useful under certain conditions, but a waste of time under others. You have to know which conditions are best for the use of the indicator. Same is true for Elliott Wave. You know, personally, you know, markets inhale and exhale because of the kind of people involved. It would be, you'd get better use of Elliott Wave if you understood who's involved in the large waves and who's involved in the small waves. You know what I'm saying? It's using the information from a different point of view, because the information itself in either case is based on price. You take the price, cut it in half, that's another price. That's where the market's supposed to go to. Well, that's a logical violation of science. So you're, you know what I'm saying, is that you don't want to use the price issue. You want to find out more about the theory behind the thinking. Like Monisha Homa said it best. He said, it's not the indicator that is the crucial element. It is the psychology behind the creation of the indicator. See, everybody thinks that Monisha Homa invented candlestick charting. And in fact, he did, but it wasn't candlestick charting that he was trying to get across to people in his book. The first real book ever written on trading was a book on trading psychology. I think that's really important for you to know. Let's see. Ken says, enjoy info so far. Going to check out a copy of your book. I would love you to get it. Thank you. Let's see. He says, what's your advice on Renko, candlestick, whatever? I personally use candlesticks because I'm going blind. So I don't have many years left. I got to be able to see an up bar and a down bar consistently. So I use candlesticks because they're, you know, they have the ones colored in. Otherwise, I don't think it matters. John says he enjoyed the session as always. Good. Christopher wants to know if you took all the guys from the pits back in the day and they started today, would the same people that were successful then be successful today? Well, if you're asking me, would a pit trader be able to trade upstairs from the screen? The answer to that is no. Almost every pit trader that tried to move from the pit to the screen when the markets went electronic, they all failed miserably. And that's because you can't hear the market. Markets make sound when the orders would come into the pits. Certain kinds of sounds meant that the markets were ready to move one way or the other. And those pit traders knew what those were. They could tell you what the whisper was. They could tell you what the roar was. You know what I mean? They know all that. But when you're upstairs from a screen, there's no sound. So they were never able to make the connections. But if the pits started again today, and you could go to a market that had pits where there was open outcry, you bet your ass they'd be able to do exactly the same thing. Because they know what's done. They know what needs to be done. They know. I met a wheat pit trader one time at the Board of Trade. And he said, I'm going to tell you the secret to this business. Absolutely the secret to this business. And I said, what's that? He said, when everybody's buying, look for a place to sell. When everybody's selling, look for a place to buy. This is a guy that would stand in the pit all day long. And the market would make some huge move to the upside. He'd wait for it to get quiet. He'd sell it. And he'd just sit there. He'd close at the end of the day. Absolutely, they'll be. They understand exactly. Pit traders know exactly what's going on and how to make it happen. What they can't do is they can't do it without the sound. That's the problem. It's a great question, too, by the way. That's the one thing I never did. Of all the stuff I've done in this business, every part of the business I've been in at one point or another, the one thing I didn't do is execute in the pit. I did everything else, you know, worked the desk, worked the phones, was a broker, ran, all that stuff. But I never actually worked in the pit. I wish I would have done that. Don says, my dog uses the clues to be up for breakfast. Don't know what he means there. Cues, sound. Oh, yeah. Okay. Some great questions today. I can see that some people agree to disagree with me. They don't think that's what I mean. They don't think it's real. But I'm telling you, this is a zero-sum transaction market, guys. There's no way for you to make a profit unless somebody else loses money in their account. You can't win unless somebody else loses their money. So how are you going to find that guy and put your position on in the exact opposite way that he is? You have to think differently to do that consistently. And analysis really is going to be a false construct. It's going to be something that will take you away from understanding the true nature of the business. So I'm not saying that, you know, all of this is without merit or completely useless. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you got to know what it does in context, and you got to understand that it's not going to be the thing that makes your fortune for you. The thing that's going to make your fortune for you is how you think, the difference between you and the other guy. If you use some sword while I'm using a shotgun, that's doesn't really matter. We got to make sure we're hacking at the right guy to lose. You know what I mean? Okay. Can't wait to look at my hate mail. I get emails and hate mails from people. Oh, well, did I miss anybody? I hope I didn't miss anybody. I'm looking at the clock. We're RH. Rob asks, how do you know? What do you mean? How do I know what, Rob? Rob's got a question. He says, how do you know? Be a little more specific, and I'll try to answer your question last. We're running just about 3-4 minutes before the next guy's got to get on here, so I wanted to just try to answer Rob's question real quick if we can. Who is on the other side? The loser is on the other side. If he's out there 85%, okay, look. God, I hope we have enough time left for this. I don't think we do.
Yeah, I got to cut you off in a few seconds.
Okay. Yeah. Rob, got to come back, dude. We'll do it some other time.
But, yeah, if you want to give your contact info again, and I'll put your...
It's right there. You guys go to my website and or websites. Love you to get a copy of my latest book. And, again, feel free to contact me anytime. You can reach me through the sites. It's not a problem. Thanks again for having me. As always, David, I hope the hate mail is a smaller stack this time.